your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're in the midst of a great discussion about spirituality that is brought up because in our community, in the worldwide community that I'm in touch with anyway, Reiki has become very much at the forefront for a lot of people who have practiced Reiki and call it their spiritual path. This, of course, brings up all these other questions about how individuals define spiritual path, how they feel about spiritual practice. Does spiritual practice need to be in an organized kind of bona fide sort of religious practice, or is it something that really is a chosen gateway, if you want to put it, for an individual to find a connection to their part of themselves that's spirit? And there are all these offshoots of questions that come out of this whole discussion, and I've just taken these first 3 or 4 months of this year in 2008 to really go deeper and deeper and deeper in this exploration. I'm really pleased for the next 3 interviews to have 3 dedicated students of Reiki come on the program who have been extremely involved in the Catholic Church for many years of their lives and continue to practice spirituality in what I would call a very unique way for each of these individuals. And today I have with me Olivia Salazar. She is American, but she's not lived in America and in the United States for many, many years. And the first time I met her many years ago, she was had just arrived in Germany, and there she is right now. So she's calling us from Heidelberg. Olivia, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phyllis. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
Well, it's going to be our pleasure because I know that you're just full of stories. So, of course, the best story, or one of the best stories is, I don't know where to start. I don't know if I should start with Reiki, but I think what I should start with is sort of what tweaked you as far as, you know, you and spiritual and the part of you that was spirit. I don't know if I can say your spiritual path because that doesn't seem quite accurate.
No, I consider a spiritual path a little bit confining. Yes.
So what's your definition of a spiritual path? Let's start there.
I'm not sure I can give a definition of a spiritual path. For me, it's broader than that. It's living wherever I happen to be in whatever circumstance, and sometimes it's not a path at all. It's a movement. It's moving wherever life is taking me, and sometimes my feet are not on the ground. I think something that will help me sort of to focus in on this is something I learned from my mom when she first came back from a 4-year stay in hospital.
Wow.
We used to spend a lot of time in the garden and with animals. And I can remember one time when we were planting, she held seeds in her hands, and she said, "See these seeds? Everything in each one of these seeds has everything that it needs to grow into a potato or a blooming flower. And, you know, you have this kind of seed in you. You can't see it, you can't feel it, but everything that you need to live, to follow God's wishes for you, to be able to think, it's all in this little seed that was inside of me a long time ago. And this is something which keeps coming back as a member of the Catholic Church. This is something that kept me focused, because growing up, a lot of what I learned as a Catholic didn't make sense, because it was too much in books, it was too much in theory, and what kept me focused was knowing that I had in me what I needed to be able to live a full life. And it really made a lot of sense when I learned Reiki. So you see, it's hard for me to see a path, a spiritual path, separated from my human beingness. Because I cannot be a human being without my spirit.
Right.
And my spirit, especially since I have Reiki, it's amazing what has happened to me. I sometimes hardly know me, because I'm the hothead of the family. I used to be very, very angry because I didn't understand myself.
Uh-huh.
And being with Reiki, other people noticed how I suddenly became very calm. I was able to be a better listener. And I was able to move in life with relaxation. And this thought about my mother telling me, you have in you what you need to be a happy human being. And as I began to practice Reiki, I learned how to be a very conscious Roman Catholic.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. I used to do everything that I knew was expected of me as a Catholic. As a nun, I became a nun because I wanted to work in Asia, and for me, that was the only way I knew of getting over there.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, that was before JFK and Peace Corps. And I did everything that was expected of me as a nun, and more that was expected. That was typical in my family. You know, we didn't go a mile with someone. We went 10 or so.
Uh-huh.
and I think I'm going 100 now with Reiki. After my initiation in first degree and second degree, I knew that definitely I wanted to go ahead into mastery, because this gift was so precious to me that because it had helped me to find my soul after many years. I was over 50 when I learned Reiki, and I actually became very conscious of my soul, my beingness, my giftedness, and gratitude for who I am, and such joy and peace came because the way I've been practicing Reiki has been what do you call it in English? I'm self-employed.
Well, I'm not quite sure that's so descriptive of what you're trying to get at.
Help. You see, I move as the need arises. People come to me and tell me, you know, I hear that when you give Reiki, a person can be helped to heal oneself. And my mother is very sick, and she needs help. And can you heal her? And I said, no, but I can help her to heal herself. And when I go from my home to these people, I travel with the bus. And I use Reiki as I travel on the bus, not only for myself, but for the people and everything that I will meet on my way, to bless this movement from my home to the people whom I will be treating. You see, I get to spoil myself because I have a lot of time traveling.
Uh-huh.
So I can be able to deal with my day in relationship to the people through Reiki on my way to them. And I'm coming more and more in touch with myself. I'm still on the road. Thank God I haven't reached perfection. I think it would be very boring, actually. But through Reiki, I'm becoming more conscious and more appreciative of people and things around me. And you see, I cannot separate the spiritual part of me from my humanness. And I think part of being a spiritual being is being very human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not just, it's more than a path, it's living. It's a process of living for me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, it's interesting because, you know, this kind of goes back to the very story of Mikao Usui, who may or, well, we'll get back to this question in a few moments. Right now, it's time for our first break. So you guys are going to be on pins and needles until I return. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today a delightful woman. Unfortunately, we didn't get a photo on the e-card because you would see that she's just a munchkin of a person. Her name is Olivia Salazar, an American who is now living in Germany. And we were just at the point where Olivia is trying to explain to me and to you, the listeners, that she's she can't relate somehow to this phrase, spiritual path, because she feels just in naming it, it separates it from the very essence of human beings living their lives. Would you say that that was true, Olivia?
Yes, I think the Munchkin can agree with you on that.
So, one of the things that I was, well, the question that I was trying to form as the station break happened was that this takes me back to the very beginning of what happened, or where we connect sort of with spiritual paths. And I think that Mikao Usui was a very interesting man. I mean, I've always imagined him to be simply a human being who was fascinated with human spirit and with the unknown, the mystic part of who we are as human beings. And in his search, he ended up being very, very fascinated with Jesus and with him as a historical figure and I believe as a religious figure. And in that, it stimulated him to ask this question about healing. And during his research and all that, he ended up in a monastery, which a lot of people, I think, visualize as kind of a Catholic monastery, which it was actually a Buddhist monastery. And monasteries, you know, that are in Japan and China and Nepal and so on, they do house people who have taken vows and are very committed to practice and hold a certain energy for the rest of world community. But they also welcome guests to study on their own and to be in sanctuary in some respects. And I feel that this flavor of having this sort of waft through, you know, this like little odor or beautiful fragrance of this hint of spirituality has flowed through. And I just wonder if this doesn't put us as Reiki students a little bit in the process of wondering, well, what is this? What does this practice bring to me? And does it call on me to do something that is kind of above and beyond my normal everyday life sort of activities, if you will? And, you know, the more I practice Reiki, the more I see that each action that I take in my life can be an act of spirit. And I'm just wondering how that is for you and if you can relate to anything that I've said so far.
Yes, yes, Phyllis. I can relate very, very strongly to that. The more I practice, the more connected I am to people and things with whom I am involved. Very conscious of they become precious to me. Whereas in the past, very often it would be like just going by and oh hello, and it is some. There's a phrase that you used in an email to me the other day, is being able to be people's souls. And it's really true. After I read that, I said, that's really true. Because of Reiki, I know that a lot of my vision has become more clear to see people's souls, and I hear myself saying things that I know do not come from this personal Munchkin, but it's Reiki that is speaking through me in a way. The intuitiveness which I had as a small child and lost, I put it aside, I think, as I got older in school and in the in this wonderful religious order which I joined and which supported me in being able to work with people in Asia. This intuitiveness in seeing into people and their needs and helping them to see this themselves, see this is my old thing of help for self-help, without Reiki I know I would not be this way. Uh-huh. It's touching my soul and helping me to be more human.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This potential in that little tiny seed in my mother's womb is blossoming. It's a much easier way of growing because I am now conscious of so many things which I see and cannot see, which I hear and actually sometimes wonder, where does this come from?
Uh-huh.
So spirituality is in my cell. Every cell of my body I see. It enriches everything that I do.
Right.
And I know I'm so grateful that I have these times of being able to be in a very crowded bus and still have Reiki flowing and working and preparing me for my next step on that day.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm wondering is, can you, when I want to go back to this part about Dr. Usui, how do you hold his practice and his way of being in the world? Would you say that it's very similar to yours, a very pragmatic, let's do what needs to be done kind of approach to spirituality?
A very pragmatic approach to spirituality.
Okay, so this is my words, and I'll tell you where it comes from.
Yes.
You know, I think that I will speak for myself. I've read a lot about, and let's just use the Catholic Church because here we are, that I've really admired and really been in awe a lot of people who have dedicated their lives so much to a church, whether it's a Buddhist order or a Catholic order or any of the other orders that have what I would call monastic communities, because I feel like somehow there's a surrender of the everyday world and, you know, the things that go with that, both the pleasures and the confusion of the everyday world, and they're... And, you know, just are we bringing this monastic kind of attention to our spirit as human beings into the everyday world simply by living in the everyday world and being able to be in... So this is where Reiki brings me, to be in contact with Reiki. So I'm just trying to bridge this image of Dr. Usui and his kind of monastic quality of his life, anyway, the life that we know about, and where we are now.
Well, you see, when Usui was in the monastery, he was actually separated from the people out there, so to say.
Uh-huh.
It was a limited area. After he had Reiki, he took his cloister with him. The place where the poor people were and he was treating, that was his cloister. He was bringing the spirit that he had known and in which to which and in which he had grown in the limited cloister to the world. And when I was in the order, I found that we really were considered separate beings by the people out there, that's in quotes.
Uh-huh.
And it was very difficult for me to see myself in that role, officially separated from the people of God.
Uh-huh.
It disturbed me so much, and it was very important for me, when I saw that my work in Asia was finished, to get out of the order and step into the cloister of the world. So And when Reiki found me here in Germany, thank God, it was like getting a whole new look into this cloister of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brought me back into my being, which to a certain extent is limited in a cloister situation.
Right. Exactly.
It isn't a natural way of living in a cloister situation, although our order was very active in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And the way that Reiki helps me, you know, I talk with Reiki. Sometimes I don't know how to deal with some sick people, and I have my hands, thank God, thanks Reiki, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing the people to help them to look into their situation by treating themselves brings them into this deepness, which I find is coming through Reiki for me,
uh-huh.
The untouchable part of me. And, of course, because it keeps me healthy as well on the physical level, the spiritual level is more cognizant of being what keeps me going as a more complete human being the more I treat myself and help others
mm-hmm.
through Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the music.
Well, that's a wonderful response. Thank you, Olivia. I have great questions for you after
okay.
this commercial break.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the 7th Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
My husband, he works two jobs. He's working real, real hard.
Barbara and Alfonso Palais lived in a neighborhood where there was crime and drugs.
The people next door, they're using drugs, so we are scared.
They were living in a dangerous situation. They needed to move into a new environment.
Habitat for Humanity is helping the Palaises build a simple, decent, affordable home for their family. And they will buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage.
We decided to apply for a house.
This home is their hope, their security, and their life.
Barbara and Alfonso can now raise the children in the safety of their new home.
To build your own home is something real.
I'm so happy because I can take care of my family.
I want to get a house, a real house.
Habitat for Humanity, building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
Our dreams come true and we got a home. So, thanks, Habitat.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I'm back with Olivia Salazar. We're talking, of course, about spirit, about Reiki, and in some respects, a little bit aside, her experiences in the Catholic Church. So I just want to come back to something that my grandmother used to say, Olivia, and that is, she used to say in all of her lectures, and Reiki is God power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all take that in some way and have our own interpretations of it. And one of the things that I was accused of, and I think rightly so, in the early years, and I will say that because I'm going on 30 years of Reiki mastership. Is it this year? Yes, 2008. Mm-hmm. Is my 30th year, which is just kind of mind-boggling.
Yes.
And and I was accused of being afraid to say the word God and to have it be associated with Reiki. And I don't know, somehow in my own mind, all the characteristics and the understandings that I had of what God should be, this guy sitting on a cloud with a long beard and gray hair, that's such a crazy childhood thing that sticks with me even now, that I had these characteristics and I've transferred them over in some way to Reiki, and it's been my experience that I've had very similar experiences with what I would call spirituality in church and spirituality in my Reiki practice. And I'm just wondering if you can speak to this a little bit. Reiki is God.
I consider Reiki energy God energy. And I'm so grateful that Reiki is not a religion, so that people who have a relation to God on whatever level, who are experienced with some sort of energy, or maybe not yet, haven't experienced the God energy. But when I see what happens when I put my hands on very sick people, and see how they begin sometimes very quickly, sometimes very slowly, to be able to heal themselves, especially when they have learned Reiki and treat themselves as well.
Right.
It cannot be, in my experience, as a human being, not necessarily as a religious human being, but it must be an energy, a good energy, and for me, the best energy is God energy.
Uh-huh.
And it depends on who comes, how I deal with the word God energy.
Uh-huh.
I don't use it all the time.
Uh-huh.
I use it when it fits the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But healing energy is sort of universal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the energy that we receive with which we can heal ourselves. And not necessarily physically. You know, the biggest changes I see in many of these very, very sick people is the energy of healing their spirit and preparing them for their last step, the most important step left for them in this life, to be able to die in a way that is full of joy and moving on.
And so have you ever had conversations with people, like, for instance, other people from the Catholic Church or from fundamentalist kinds of churches that talk about this duality of God and, I don't know what the word is, the devil or Satan or this duality of good and evil, that kind of thing in relationship to Reiki?
Don't think I've ever had it in relationship to Reiki except once from a person who declared himself as a non-believer of anything that he couldn't touch and then started suddenly speaking of the evil in the world. And they said, well, where did this evil come from? And he says, well, it's black energy. And he wanted to know if I had black energy in me. And I said, well, I don't know what color energy is, so I'm not really sure. Yeah, wickedness in you. And I said, well, I suppose there's a little bit of wickedness in every one of us. And we can choose to have it in us or not. And he said, how can we choose to have black or evil in us or not? I said, well, depends on what you know is good and what you know is less good or maybe evil. And anyway, it was difficult to speak to that because he couldn't get away from black energy somehow.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to know if it's true that I healed people, and I said, I heal myself, and I can help people to find the way to heal themselves if they wish to.
Uh-huh.
But I can heal only myself through a very beautiful energy, which I connect with God energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see how it has worked in me, number one, and how it has helped other people be able to heal themselves. And that can only be good energy. And I said, in any way, energy is energy. What we do with it can be good or less good or bad. But energy itself, I personally don't find as evil. And that set him into thinking about it. And that was the end of our conversation, and I haven't seen him again. But in speaking with the Catholic priests who have not yet experienced Reiki, it bothers them to think that I am working with godly energy somehow at the very beginning of it. And when they risk having a short treatment from me to experience it, they suddenly realize that there is something in it. And when I tell them that after my first initiation, my first degree initiation, when I received the host in my hand, I put both hands around it. I could not put it in my mouth at the beginning. I was treating Christ, imagine that. And he looked at me and started crying. He had never had a relationship to this little piece of thing that looks like plastic, which is the body and blood of Christ. It moved him. Really, it was amazing to see what happened. Later he learned Reiki, not from me, but from a priest who also is a Reiki master. And so to see the working of Reiki in people making slow connections with God energy and healing energy, which I find God energy as healing energy. It's amazing because it's so simple and yet so profound. The simplicity of laying on of hands and actually seeing the changes in people or experiencing it in my own body, in my own spirit, in my own soul, and letting it work on what was in that little seed in my mother's womb and see how it has grown. And filled with spirit and being very concretely human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You see my problem with spiritual
Yeah.
God? Yeah.
Right. Well, let's take another phrase. How about spiritual practice? So when... Well, this is really interesting. I have, because of these interviews, I have been, you know, talking to lots of people and lots of students and lots of people who are not students about their spiritual path and about their spiritual practice. And I had always sort of used the two as kind of as very similar, you know, like for me a spiritual path is like some practice that is like a vehicle that allows me connection with my spirit and motivates me to continue by presenting me certain situations and people in my life that I have to deal with. And mostly those situations and people would happen anyway. It's just my perspective is very different when I come from what I would call a Reiki perspective rather than a perspective that I would have had before Reiki, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Then when I asked this person about spiritual practice, I had it in kind of a global sense, and she said, oh, yes, I have many spiritual practices. I meditate. I walk my dog. I say the rosary. I give myself a Reiki treatment. I send distant treatment. That was a very interesting list.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A very interesting list.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering how you relate to the phrase spiritual practice.
I relate to it in a sort of a global way because with Reiki, I start out the day blessing whatever it is I'm doing that day, which includes yoga, which includes meditation, which often can end up meditating on the cat that comes in the window from the neighbor, enjoying the beauty of his movements and being aware of what a beautiful creature he is. And, of course, then giving myself a long treatment because I need lots of Reiki. Reiki really blesses everything I do in my day. So, yes, I think it's helped me to be a good Catholic. And I think it's as important as being a practicing Catholic.
Great. Thank you. Well, we'll be back for our last segment in just a few moments.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Olivia Salazar, who's living in Germany, and she has a very unique, I would say, niche in the Reiki practice world. One that many of us might shy away from, I think, because she's often treating people with extremely severe physical conditions and accompanies them in the hospital through surgeries, and through their dying process. And I don't know if there's a word for it, but it feels like we need to come up with a word for you, Olivia, that is sort of like a midwife. And I guess, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I just love the stories of midwives. I think they are so beautiful about birthing babies. And I know that a lot of them, because of their familiarity and their way of this major transition of our human life, that they often are called, when they're Reiki practitioners, to accompany people through the next transition, our transition mm-hmm. from human being to, if I may be so forward as to say, spirit again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yes.
I'm just wondering about how that is for you and how did Reiki just give this practice to you, or was this something that you really sought for yourself?
I sought it when I first started working in a dental practice. At the first, when I finished my time learning German, just at the point when I was able to speak it and understand it well, I found information about Reiki from my future Reiki master, and I said, if it's true what is on this paper, I have to learn this, because my theme of help for self-help, when I treat myself, uh-huh. I'm helping myself. If I treat someone else, I assist that person to help himself or herself. And so I worked like the devil. Well, I mean, that's not a nice thing to say. Save my
probably
money.
Probably another word would be better.
I worked very hard extra in order to have money to do my first degree Reiki. And then I was able, through this dental practice, at the very beginning, to start helping people by giving them treatments. And through this money that I earned giving treatments, I was able to do the second degree.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to earn the money for my master, for my mastership, for my courses to become a Reiki master. So I really was pursuing this. I knew that for me, I needed not only to be able to treat myself, but sometimes I was almost like a wild woman thinking, but you know, we need this, but I need to be ready to be able to do this and to present Reiki the way it needs to be honored and,
uh-huh.
and used by the students. So
uh-huh.
I was very much aware of the beauty of this gift that I had received, and that grows and grows the more I use it. And,
uh-huh.
And yet, to be a normal, crazy human being that
right.
I am, enjoying life. You know, I have such joy just being alive.
Great.
And it has deepened through this gift that we have.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Phyllis, I think often of Duke Ellington's A Sacred Concert. He has one of the songs which is sung in this concert, which, by the way, we will be singing in public soon. He says, to get busy about becoming who we already are. You know this little seed in my mother's womb?
Uh-huh.
Through Reiki, this becoming who I already am has been so enriched and such a constant growth. It doesn't mean that I don't have less beautiful days. There are times when things can be difficult. You know.
Yeah.
I'm still very much a human, but
uh-huh.
you know, a more conscious human. When I
uh-huh.
get hurt, I hurt wonderfully. You know, I can be very much aware of the hurt and the goodness
mm-hmm.
that happens. It's double rich. XXL? Sort of happiness. And I think this is what Reiki really does for those of us who practice. It
uh-huh.
helps each of us to become the person who we already are in fullness.
Yeah.
in service.
And do you feel like that philosophy of yours carries through to the people that you treat as they are in transition to spirit or heaven or wherever they're going?
Very much. We talk about this. And very often I make sure that some member of the family is there. And sometimes the family members do not want to let these people go. And I make it very clear that in conversation with the patient, quietly, often they say to me, I so want to die, but I can't go. My son wants me to live. My daughter, my grandchildren, they don't want me to go. And I say, maybe we should talk to them. And so we talk about the beauty of moving on with the family members. And, you know, almost immediately, usually from one of the children, Grandma, you can go. You don't have to suffer anymore. We love you, but we don't want you to be sick anymore. Mm-hmm. And very often, within hours of the person giving permission to stop suffering, the person will be able to make the transition in peace, very often smiling. And being so blessed to be able to move on.
Wonderful. Well, what a beautiful... Go ahead.
It touches the people who are there.
Yes, I can imagine. And what a beautiful ministry for you. And I this word comes to me because I just feel it's so appropriate.
Yeah. Yes, it is a ministry, and it's such a blessing for me to be able to do this.
Well, your seed is growing and blooming. I'm looking out at the bougainvillea here in Mexico, and there's just cascading blossoms of bright fuchsia and purple and white and red and all these different colors, you know, and I just think about your seed and think about you, and I really just appreciate your being in the world, Olivia.
Oh, me too. And this is one of the greatest gifts, Phyllis, to be able to appreciate me as I am. That was the greatest, the most difficult thing that I have ever achieved in my life, is to look at me and see who I am with the gift of Olivia. Yeah, it was very painful for me.
Well, I'm so glad, and that is true for me also. And I feel that, you know, as we come to Reiki, it feels like what happened for me is that I was disconnected from my spirit. And Reiki gave me the connection point and gives me always all these different ways to reconnect.
Yes. And thank you, Phyllis, for passing this gift on. Because of you, I'm able to practice this.
You're welcome.
Lots of
Reiki. It's my pleasure. Yeah. Well, Olivia, this is the end of our show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was wonderful. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back next week.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.